Good afternoon, it's Wesley. Who do I have on the call?
Hey,
okay, let's try that again. Everyone jumped in at the same time.
Hi, Susie's here.
Hi, Susie.
Brian Greets here.
Hi, Brian.
Rob Williams.
Rob, hello.
Hi, guys.
Rich Jane.
Nora is here.
Hello, hello. Give just a few more minutes. Hi, it's Wesley.
Hi, Crystal just joined.
Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
And I did get your IM, so we're good.
Okay, great.
Okay. So Robert Aldecoa had a conflict, won't be on with us. As well as, I think it was Nora that declined.
Hi, it's Priyanka.
Hi, Priyanka, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. And Amy also declined. So I think we have a bit of a quorum. Now, one thing I did fail to do on our first call a couple of weeks ago, and thank you all for your flexibility and all the conflicts that we had from last week. So I think we're in a good place because, as I understand it, a number of very significant meetings happened earlier this week and latter part of last week. So I'm looking forward to some updates and movement on where we need to be. But in the meantime, if we could just go around round robin and just introduce ourselves and our roles. I know there have been some changes, even to this team. So if you wouldn't mind doing so fairly quickly, and then we'll get down to our business of the day. Am I on mute?
Wesley, who do you want to go for?
Oh, fine. All right. Wesley DeShazer. I am an instructional designer with Schwab Business Learning, reporting to Robert Aldecoa. I am leading this particular effort for the learning experience, the training for whomever needs it in terms of virtual advisor. All right. There we go.
You have to call people out, Wesley.
Are you kidding? No, I'm
all right, I'll go first. This is Rob Williams. I work for the Schwab Center of Financial Research, and I'm representing the research and advice team for SCIFR and much of the advice flow and supporting SPCIA and as a subject matter expert.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, this is Susie Rose, and I'm with Schwab Business Learning. I'm an instructional designer, and I will be working with Wesley to support him in any of the learning needs that arise.
Hi, this is sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is Rich Janes. I'm a director currently over our Intelligent Portfolio Service Teams, and we'll also have the responsibility for the service model for VA Schwab Intelligent Advisory going forward.
Okay, this is Crystal Tedesco. I'm in client experience, so I'm probably the newest member of the team. I just came back from maternity leave about 2 weeks ago. So I'll be taking over a lot of the work streams that Kathy Chow was managing before. So we might think about restructuring some of these teams or the working teams differently, knowing everyone's very, very busy. But I'll be helping connect, hopefully, all the dots here in terms of the overall training and, you know, looking at the scope of advice for the planners. I'll also be looking at the legal and oversight and compliance work streams and then the training ones. So managing quite a few, but hopefully that will help connect all the dots for VA.
Hi, this is Priyanka Tandonyo, and I'm also on the client experience team. I was previously on this call, but now that Crystal's here, she'll be taking the lead. And I probably won't be joining these calls moving forward, but we'll connect with Crystal on that offline.
This is Nora Alkieli with Build Integration. I am working primarily on field communications, so I'll be primarily responsible on how we communicate training out to the field and just making sure that we have an effective rollout when the time comes. Also, I'll just be here to lend an ear to make suggestions from previous roles that I've had in the field. So as a subject matter expert. Thank you.
Great. This is Brian Crete. So I just changed roles within the last week or two. I'm now working on the sales enablement team, and my role is to help out the rollout and the implementation in the branch network. So I'm working on this and then another overall initiative called the Business Results Acceleration Program, which this will kind of fall in as a part of.
Okay, great. And then I think I just heard one more beep. We're introducing ourselves, so if you're there, please do so.
This is Ken Kilday, and I have responsibility for the, well, it was VA, now it is Schwab Intelligent Advisory.
There we go. So the name is settled.
Name is settled. It's done. We have a domain and everything.
Oh, really? Wow. Nice work. Nice work. All right. Well, thank you. I believe we got everyone. Is that true? Okay, great. And so as I said at the top of the call, we've had a significant number of changes since we were last together, and not to say the least of which are resources in terms of you guys on the call, as well as significant changes and decisions being made, which is a good thing. So let's go ahead and add to that momentum. I want to thank Rob Williams for all the hard work that he got us started on last week, and hopefully we can make some more progress on our document here. So if you're not already in the meeting share, I am beginning to share it out now where we are. And I know Crystal and I met earlier, and so a lot of this we'll not spend a whole lot of time on, but just wanted to recap some of what we discussed last time around the how this project rolls up into the corporate strategy level business objectives, and then into the IS level focus five. And so you'll see those there. Then we spent some time around trying to define the problem statement, and that is, what are we solving for? Again, Crystal and I had some conversation around that, so you'll see more of this fleshed out. And then, because one of the questions we really want to answer is around, what are we solving for? Why does this project exist? Why does this offer exist? What are we targeting with the offer? That kind of thing. Then moving down into the stakeholders. Who are the people that need to be involved in terms of a sign-off? Once all is said and done on this particular project, who will have signatory responsibility on saying, yes, this is good to go from all of the different areas in the firm that you see identified here along with their stakeholders? So today I want to spend some time on, well, first before I do that, any questions on any of that? Again, knowing that a lot of this will be fleshed out from decks that I have yet to see, but hopefully we'll again connect with Crystal on so that we can flesh those out here.
Just one question. This is Rob. And Crystal, I was just going to make a suggestion that you, sounds like you already did, and connecting with Wesley offline to fill in a lot of the business objectives and drivers here. My suggestion is that might not be necessary for this for this group, you know, to comment on, you know, in a call like this. I think most of that work, as far as I can tell and can see as a business partner, has been done. So, Crystal, I know. My question was, we don't think we've spent much time on that. because I think that can be done. Crystal can help probably fill in a lot of those gaps.
Yep. I completely agree, and that was what Wesley and I talked about yesterday. And so I think hopefully what we'll start to sort out is once we get this, and Wesley, you know, feel free to correct me at any point, but we can determine what does this working group look like. You know, I'm already starting to lead some of the internal efforts around, you know, with Ken. I'll be working closely with him, with Rob, in terms of MGP and what that experience looks like. So we'll just need to determine, you know, what does the smaller working group look like. But in terms of next steps, what I think, you know, will be really helpful is I'm going to provide Wesley some decks with all this information that he needs to start thinking about the training plan. You know, I've created a slide that overviews all the roles that I think will be impacted by Schwab Intelligent Advisory, and what type of topics that we'll probably need to cover with them. And so I think the best next step, knowing that we're trying to have a soft launch by November, is in getting the training team's recommendation on how do we tackle this. And obviously, they still need a lot of information to do that, so trying to get that to you is at the top of my list in terms of priorities. So it would be great in maybe the next meeting if we can start to hear about your thoughts on some sort of training strategy.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Does that sound right, Wesley, from what we discussed yesterday?
It is, and thank you for making that very succinct. So,
one other question, Wesley.
Sure.
This might be for Ken and team. What would be the sort of canon part of this, and how far? If one of the things that probably should be mentioned to this group or to you guys is how far they've been engaged in terms of what canon might be doing and some of the training support for the virtual advisor team. So. We could spend a lot of time talking about things that may not be necessary to talk about. So I don't know. Is there anyone on the phone that has some insight into that, Ken? I don't know if you guys had any information from your side.
Yeah, Dimitra and I have engaged with Canon. Dimitra before I got here, of course.
Right.
And naturally, the last 2 weeks, we are in the middle of a wealth management academy, so we're not going to get any updates until that concludes tomorrow, and then we can get with David and get a little bit more granular. I think our initial thoughts were that Canon would take a lot of the sales process, if you will, of the offer, and we would develop more of the this is how the offer works and these are the systems you use to put together.
Right. And so supporting that, Crystal knows about this, but we have a summary of some of our advice guidelines and key principles that Chris Tom asked for and thought would be useful that we can share with you all. And we're going to schedule a meeting with Chris and with you to go through some of that document so you can see some of what the Schwab specific advice points, you know, might be that you might want to include in that. And we'll watch your feedback on it and Chris's too. So that's part of that path, so I just want you to be aware of that coming up. So we have a draft of it, and we'll share it with you, and it kind of digests a lot of our advice guidelines and, you know, what kind of recommendations they might be using the Money Guide Pro tool, but being Schwab-specific about it.
Okay. That sounds good. I'll look for that.
Okay. Good. Wesley, I'm a question-asking person, but I'm going to ask one last question. For the most benefit of this ongoing meeting, could you go through kind of like this document at a very high level, like what you'll be needing from us, and maybe we can then decide if this is the right group to give it to you. Maybe rather than going through each sort of each line by line, it might just give us a better sense of whether you've got the right working group of people to give you what you need to get this kicked off.
Absolutely.
That'd be helpful for me at least.
Right, right.
Maybe you can go through this document.
Right, and I agree. But that's exactly what Crystal and I talked about previously. So, yes, that's...
All right, great.
Do that.
Okay. No more questions for me. Thanks.
At least for now. Don't stop. Don't stop, Rob.
For now. Caveat, yes.
That's right. Got to get you your... Yes.
You were sending out share. I'm sorry. You were still sending out the share thing, and I never got one. So I'm not looking at any document.
Oh, okay. Inside your meeting invitation, there should be a join meeting link.
Ah, okay.
And that should get you there.
Well, you know, you'd think with my 3 weeks of tenure, I'd know these things.
Not a problem at all. Happy to guide.
Got it.
Okay, great. There he is. All right. So we've actually spent a good bit of time here, but just to give you the layout of what we're expected to do on our end, this particular document is a charter, if you will, a malleable living document that we use to guide and document our to document our agreements. And what is it that we want to achieve? What are our goals in terms of our responsibilities versus the business's side of the responsibilities in order to achieve the defined objectives? And so we start at a high level with the business objectives, then we move on to the investor services at the organization level objectives. I mentioned earlier about these two areas, business opportunities and drivers, and the problem statement. Essentially, with these two areas, we're trying to answer the question, why does this exist? What are we trying to solve for? How will we then address those particular needs? So you'll see those two questions here. You'll see where I've captured a few of those things. For example, the problem statements that we're trying to deliver an experience with an advisor, including consultation, advisor advice online to clients who may or may not want or need a traditional advisor. And with that, that kind of implies, okay, how are we differentiating or positioning this among our other offers? That's sort of a ladder piece there. And I know a lot of this is still being hashed out, but as much as we can align to, we'd like to as early as possible. That this particular offer, continuing with our problem statement, goes beyond sales conversation. What does this look like when we say that? How are we delineating between training for sales people, training for the advice or the sales conversations, the advice conversations, service and operations? What does that look like on the back and front ends? Who is the target or the ideal client for this offer? And so each one of those that we identify will be then turned into a statement like this. What's the problem? Who does it affect? The impact of which? And then what does that solution look like? Particularly what's measurable in terms of specific criteria. Okay. Then, of course, we move into the stakeholder. I explained that a little bit earlier, too, in terms of who will have sign-off authority and responsibility in saying, yes, this is what we agreed to. Yes, this is we believe will address the problems that we've identified and meet the objectives that we've identified. And here is the spectrum of how those represent across the firm. Okay. Then we move into the design strategy. This is on the Schwab Business Learning side of things, where we help you all identify in terms of the learner needs, the objectives. Okay, so a few that came out of our last time together. But just what is the virtual advisor? And I'll update this for the new language. Schwab Intelligent Advisor or Advice, did I hear?
It's Schwab Intelligent Advisory.
Advisory, okay, got it. Just go ahead and make that. All right, and I'm pretty sure that this is already out there, so I'll just go ahead and put it there. All right, and then how is it positioned among our other offers? That was a big question that came up when we were working with SIP. A couple years ago, how do we position that? And then what's involved in delivering that offer, not only in positioning it, but in terms of delivery from end to end? For example, how does lead flow and vectoring look at every stage depending on, of course, decisions that are made. And then explain the path from the client's perspective, from goals planning, what those conversations look like, how is the tool involved, through actually adopting and executing and activating a wealth plan. Those are some that have been identified here. Then we get into the actual deliverables. Deliverables we've identified from our last conversation that they will actually pivot around the two tracks. We have the Schwab Business Learning track, which is being developed internally, and then the Canon Financial Institute track, which is being developed third party. So what existing resources is a global question to both tracks. Can we draw from the to develop this experience? What are the What are the MGP site resources? We called out some of those from the last time, so I was able to go through and look at some of these resources. So they have questionnaires in PDF form. They have videos that are out there, and then a knowledge base as well. That's there. Yeah, so sample reports, things like that. How can we leverage this? Because I heard one of you say here, how do we do this Schwab style? Okay, and so we need to find out where can we gain some efficiencies in our customization versus what things will be just fine the way they are delivered from the MGP site. Because ultimately, we want to answer the question: this is how it works. These are the systems we use. Include any, as was said earlier, advice, guidelines, key principles here, whereas on the Canon side of things, they're focusing more on the sales process. The next section dives into essentially what are the new materials that we're building based on these deliverables, based on these objectives. What specific deliverables are we identifying? And then what existing materials, meaning if we just update them to include the VA information or VA feeder information, can we leverage it as is or just make some modifications rather than rebuild something entirely from scratch? So that's always a consideration. If the answer ends up being this is all new and there's nothing that we can leverage, that's fine. But for example, if we can leverage something from SIP, then that would show up here, whether it's IWIN content or existing lessons. We got into some of the audience, essentially the larger group, and then Kid and Kill Day's team is how we landed last time. Specifically, I want you to concentrate on this column. We broke it out essentially to the PC roles and then everyone else, FCs and CSS folks and any other non-planning consultant roles. Would fall into that audience. But any other audience specifics would be called out here. And I think that's part of the conversation that Crystal and I talked about. Calendar, you'll see here. So what I'll do at this moment is bring up some of the work that Crystal's already done. And so I want to thank her for putting this together. So this is what we're looking
Sorry
at.
For IMing in the middle and interrupting.
No.
I didn't envision that popping up. I was just knew you were getting to this topic.
No. It's quite all right. It's quite all right. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say I'd love to get some thoughts. I know you guys are going to be diving in. You know, as soon as you get the rest of the information, you'll be designing, you know, a very holistic and comprehensive strategy in terms of training. So this was just some early thinking, literally like 15 minutes today, so it's not comprehensive by any means, but would love to get, you know, everyone on the phone's thoughts before we, you know, dive into the strategy of did we capture all the right audiences in terms of, and then also looking at the topics. And I have walked through some of the main ones that I've heard so far in terms of roles that we'll need to train. I think the bulk of it's going to be around the new planning consultants or whatever name we decide to go with, Ken. And you can see at the top are just some of the areas I thought we're going to need to train them on, which is overview of now VA, should we say, SIA across all of these, the virtual advisor, advice, policy and guidelines for a lot of these roles. And then Canon, as you know, Rob and Ken already discussed earlier, would probably lead around the financial planning topics and some of the sales-based training. Then we also have portfolio recommendations and coming from SIP, the tool demos using MGP itself, and then some of the tools that are being developed internally. New hire training, a lot of these planners and some of the managers will be brand new to Schwab, so they'll need just basic overall Schwab training. And then the last bucket is for the managers, how do they coach their teams for success? So again, this was just off the cuff, so I'd love if anyone else has any other thoughts about maybe roles that aren't on this list or any other high-level buckets that we would need to train on.
Hey, Crystal, well, this is Priyanka. I'd want to add the IDT team on here.
Okay.
In particular. Yeah, because they will be getting any open referrals or people who call and then have an appointment, but then they don't open an account on the phone with the planner. If they're under 250K, those leads will be going to IDT to close the sale.
Great. Thanks for flagging that.
Yep.
This is Rich. Thinking about it from a CSNS perspective, I think you're absolutely right that we need to have the overview and the roles and overview of advice. But we also will need to make sure, because we have so much ongoing turnover, that, that the training will be part of the some foundational curriculum within the ongoing CSNS training that takes place. So maybe, you know, a check mark next to that kind of new hire piece there.
Okay, perfect.
Because we're going to have to continually train our employees in CSNS on this product.
That makes sense.
Great point, Rich. I think same thing for the branch network and FC University.
Mm-hmm. And then it's not necessarily my world, but I did come from that world. But wouldn't the PSG groups be potentially needing to do the recommendation piece as well?
I have not explored that, but I definitely will explore it. Like I said, this was just a few minutes of thought of trying to put something together, so I think it probably makes sense.
And same with FCs, and right? The branch FCs and AFCs are going
to
be...
Well, I guess what I was specifically referring to this, and I still need to demo some of these tools more, but from the actual output of these plans, that these planners will be working with clients, at the end of it, they'll be enrolling clients into SIP and selecting various portfolios based on what the client and the planner discussed. So the FCs aren't going to be in the tool itself doing enrolling clients into those portfolios. So that's what I was referring to in that section.
There's probably maybe even a bucket that is a standalone bucket then that is the referral process.
Mm-hmm.
Because there'll be a PSG referral process, there'll be a CSNS referral process. There'll be a branch referral process. So maybe it's just a separate column then around the overall referral process into SIA.
Perfect. That makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is Rob. That's questions I've heard is that FCs will ask, given that many of them have, you know, planning. They do planning. They have planning tools and sort of how this fits, where their limits are, when a client might be more suitable for this solution. And I don't know, I mean, whether that's a call out as a column or not, but I do think that's a question that will certainly come up.
Chris,
just from the last meeting, others may have comments on the specifics, but having a table like this broken out into the topics really starts to help get into the details for me, so thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, super helpful.
I agree. Crystal, from what I'm hearing, it may also help, not necessarily in this matrix, but perhaps as a second page or something like that, define each one of the scope of each one of these headers. Some of them are self-explanatory, for example, like new hire or overview. But just to that earlier point around referral processes and what you mean
what
by
portfolio recommendation.
Right. I think that may help going forward. But this is great. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think describing each clearly, I mean, this is a great way to start the discussion, but then obviously under each one of those columns, start filling out, you know, sort of an outline of the topics covered under each as it starts to expand. But, I mean, this is a great, I mean, the summary is a good place to start, so.
Great. And I have to drop off, Wesley, but I hope this was helpful for the team. And, you know, I definitely don't want to waste anyone's time. So hoping that offline, you know, we're going to still be doing a lot of work in between some of these check-in calls. And, Wesley, maybe you and I can decide, you know, what's the right cadence for these calls and who to bring in when and how often. And then hopefully by the next call or one shortly thereafter, we can share our recommended approach on how do we roll out training to the field and what we need.
Absolutely. Sounds good. And thank you so much. Have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. Any other comments on this matrix? It's this great matrix that Crystal was able to put together.
The only other thing I would say, Wesley, is where we've got roles and overview of advice, either maybe we put advice / service,
okay,
or create a separate there for service as well, because as we think about everyone in the branch network, you know, knowing who to call for help, or problems, right, or the field, or anyone like that. That, you know, knowing the roles and responsibility of the planning consultants versus the service team, I think will be really, really important.
That's a good point, and actually harkens back to when I was developing SIP, how we had to not only define the lead flow, we also had to define the vectoring, and then that included when to refer versus when to hand off. So I think that'll be critical.
Right. Yeah, and when to utilize the, like on the SIP side of it, when to utilize the SWIA team, the service team, and I think here we might even have the SWIA team, the planning consultants, and the service team because there is a SIP component of this. I'm not sure, but just that who does what and who can solve what problems,
right,
for you if you're a CSNS rep or a branch FC or etc.
You know. On the flip side of that, too, down under other, I'm thinking this is a TBD, but the insurance solutions team, like the annuity team, one of the issues we're going to probably want to discuss at some point is whether annuities and other insurance products are in scope for the planning consultants to discuss and recommend. And if so, given, you know, that the conversations are going to have a pretty short 45 minutes, you know, are they going to be referring, using other specialists, you know, for product recommendations or even service recommendations, like a more detailed estate planning analysis or something like that. So down under other, there may be some other groups that benefit from an introduction at least. You could put it like the insurance team, just as a TBD.
Right. Right. Okay. Great. Other reactions or observations? Okay. So I will capture these, and Crystal and I will get back to the team with updates to this matrix, and hopefully we may be able to get it out before the next meeting so we can react to that and further refine it, because that will help us just determine and delineate just what this will look like in terms of who gets what training as well. We want to do this and be thoughtful about it in a way that essentially you get what you need. As in terms of a learner, you get what you need when you need it, and nothing beyond. So we'll have to start with the scope of, you know, the overview, what belongs there versus what belongs everywhere else. I think this will be the easier one. Because when we start diverging and talking about, okay, well, only this team needs this or only that particular group needs that, that's when we've reached the boundary of the overview. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. So let me get out of this. So I was going through. All right. So the next piece in this document, the calendar, and again, we'll look at all the different pieces. Of course, once we define those roles, when do they need it? That's one of the questions that we didn't necessarily identify. And it, quite frankly, it's early to be able to do so. But not only what do they need, but when do they need it? For example, do we know which of these teams will be first in terms of density of information that they'll have to learn? Because our ideal is to get them as close to the launch date so that they'll be able to retain and then put into practice everything that they have learned. But with that, we want to know, you know, who actually launches when. Do we have an idea of which teams will be exposed to what things at what point? Is it still too early in terms of just what's available?
Yeah, I have a launch date. My launch date is 11-1.
Okay.
With anticipated training 9-1.
Okay. Okay. And
the and then, I'm sorry.
No. That's fine. Go ahead.
And then a third team. So that's Phoenix and Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So start training by 9-1. Soft launch of the whole offer on 11-1, and then on 11-1 we want to start training the Westlake team, the Texas team that we'll hire,
mm-hmm.
so that they'll come out of training and then we'll have three full teams live on hard launch in January.
Okay. So for the Westlake team, because I heard you say to be hired. What's the acquisition process on that? You don't have to get into detail. Are we tracking well to meet that date in terms of requisitions and things like that?
We aren't going to put the recs out there. We have Phoenix and Denver out right now,
okay.
And we'll start interviewing leaders next week, and okay. Then I'll also start my leadership team will start interviewing some planning consultants next week.
Mm-hmm.
My wish is to have everything, all 22 people hired by 8-1.
Okay, that's
just
great.
Give us enough room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good to hear. That is good to hear. And those of you that were on SIP know why I'm saying that, because we had some that weren't hired until a couple of weeks before we went to service team training. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, that's not very stressful at all, is it?
You can imagine. All right.
And what on the service side of things with the launch date of with the pilot of November 1st,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think somewhere around October 1st is when we would want to maybe get it out to CSNS.
Okay, great.
I think 9-1. 2 months before the pilot is probably a little too early. It'll be stale by then.
Sure. And changes
or
are to
not,
be expected. Well, again, if given this is new area for us, I fully anticipate there will be changes. Do we know anything in terms of APNG development and IWIN support pages?
Yeah,
oh, go ahead,
you know about that. Go ahead. If you have some insight, I know there's a meeting scheduled next week to give the APC a heads up on all the steps, and that includes training. But do you have anything to add? Please go ahead.
No, that's all I had. I just know that the teams are working on a deck to review next week with the APC.
Okay, great. Okay. So I know a lot of that will serve as some guidance around the content that we actually develop. So you'll be looking forward to that.
One of the things that will be discussed in that meeting, I think, just because I've seen the deck and talked with Kathy Chow about it, to recommend what should be discussed was some guidance from the AP. Well, one, to give the APC, the committee, you know, a sense of what's coming, and but also to ask, to give a recommendation of these different sort of categories of guidelines, some that would be within CSNS and the people who are receiving less training here and aren't using the tools, and but then more specialist guidelines that that you know don't have to have APC review for the planning consultants, which is typical of SBCIA and the other groups. So they're just going to get some feedback and let the APC know that that was the that that's the plan and that's the thinking, and see if they have any concerns.
Okay. All right, great. Okay, so we'll be able to update those. Training Plus, this area essentially will outline our strategies for what they learn and their ability to apply it immediately upon completion of the learning experience. Now, part of the entire Training Plus piece involves any communications that lead up to the actual learning experience, everything that supports that in terms of setting expectations, both for the learners themselves and for any of the leaders that will support the learners. And then post-learning experience, you'll find that we'll try and identify, the goal is to identify any sustaining activities that can be ongoing, for example, whether it be in one-on-ones or team meetings, even activities around promoting the new offer. One of the things that we encouraged the different teams to do, you may with SIP, for example, was to create challenges around ways to use and integrate the offer and make it stand out, but without over rotating, of course, but to make it stand out from the other offers during our particular campaign when we had all of that marketing push for that campaign. So any ideas like that to sort of keep it top of mind, to give it the push that it needs at launch in January, so that everyone will be on their best in terms of their knowledge and their awareness of what SIA is intended to do for our clientele and for the firm itself. We then move into the project management strategy. This is very straightforward in terms of project management terms. We define what's in scope and, more importantly, what's out of scope. What I'll need mostly in this particular out of scope area is where the boundary between Schwab Business Learning and Canon Financial begins and ends. So that's what I'll need the most here for Susie and I. Then risk mitigation, we'll work around that and identify those here. For example, during this time period from October to November, September, even all the way through January, what other activities, what other initiatives are there that will compete for the time and resources of the learners, or even of the leaders themselves, those that are in we're leaning on to help coach around the desired outcomes. So all of these we'll need to define here. Any dependencies that are there, of course, we're dependent upon, at least as we currently define it, upon Canon Financial holding up their end of things. If that doesn't happen, then what's our contingency plan? Constraints, again, what are some things that we can identify that we cannot work around at the time? This particular section may actually come from the overall project. Hopefully some of those constraints have already been identified. They may be technological in terms of the tool being built out itself. It may be vendor related in terms of MGP not able to make the customizations that we need to have in time, or we're not able to get even access or screenshots in time. What does that look like? And then budget, I'll be able to then project out in terms of the time that's been used and will be used throughout the project itself. We'll identify some key milestones and agree upon those in terms of check-in and what you all can expect as we march toward our launch dates. And then the communications, that is all the meetings which you've already accepted, at least for this first round, until further notice on those. Any formal communications, this will tie to the overall project communications plan. Since you all have a dedicated work stream for communications, it'll simply just identify that here and those that are responsible for communicating out. And anything that's unique to the training side of things, that is the learning experience, will also be identified here. In the escalation path segment, this is where, okay, the question is answered. How are we doing in terms of people completing? Are we completing at the rate and pace that we need to for the identified groups and audiences? And then are they, if we decide to put in any type of scoring to be able to demonstrate mastery of the content, that'll be identified here as well. And then if so, what happens if there's any non-compliance? For example, those that do not enroll, do not register, do not take, do not complete the learning experience as it is designed and launched. Is there any non-compliance follow-up that should be identified here? Now, as I'm going through these, not all of these sections will need to be a part of the overall document. If we agree that, you know what, we don't need this at all, it can come out. Likewise in some of the other ones as well. Then once we settle again on everyone that's here, you'll find the appendix section, glossary, roles and responsibilities, and that's essentially the document itself. We won't necessarily have this degree of defined roles and responsibilities here because of the larger work stream governance group. So we'll just keep the scope of this particular section to just our training group once we settle and make sure, as Rob, you identified earlier, that this is exactly where we need to be. These are the people that need to be a part of this group and going forward. Okay. Any questions on that? All right. Well, if not, one quick question. I know at our last meeting, I was given the task of just going through and looking at what MGP had. And again, just in assessing it, they had a number of reports, lots of samples is what I ran across. The walkthroughs were primarily video-based walkthroughs. And so based on those of you that have had experience with MGP, and I know this is, again, fairly early to be asking such a question, but I just want to kind of get a feel of it. How much of this do we see using? Because as I understand it, that MGP may replace or at least augment what we're doing with Advice Suite and with SunGuard and other tools like that. How do we see, a one-to-one replacement? For example, if I brought up all of the Advice Suite tools, do I go one-to-one and try and match up what resources are out there? What are we envisioning, at least at this stage?
So I'll take a piece of that, Wesley, and then I'm going to punt over to Priyanka and have her weigh in.
Okay.
This offer will exclusively use MoneyGuide Pro. It will not use SunGuard. That said, we are not going to use every module that's available in MoneyGuide Pro for this particular offer. Our thinking is that the planning consultants themselves have full access behind the scenes, just so that we can have financial planners that are completely well versed in the entire suite. However, that's not the scope of this particular offer. And then Priyanka, I'll let you cover maybe the modules. I know that we had eliminated several of them. I'm not sure if we honed down to decide that we're only going to cover a couple of them.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I think Crystal and Rob are still working through that. Rob, are you still on the line?
I am.
Okay, so I believe you guys are still working through that, or correct me if I'm wrong, if you've determined the final
modules?
Well, so Ken mentioning that, that is very helpful, because Ken and team will obviously define part of that, its flow and what will go in there. We've been starting that process, you know, until Ken was in place to help with that. You certainly know the tool. What we're doing in Skiffer is helping with review of all of the tools for consistency and comfort level with the advice that's being provided. And, you know, as Ken, as you described, you know, our understanding of it, it's going to be a scaled back version in terms of what the client sees, but that the portfolio consultants will have access to pretty much everything, unless there's some major advice concern that we come across, which we don't expect. But there are other tools, as you said, Wesley. So the plan, as far as I understand it right now, there's no plan to replace SunGard or those other tools as part of this project. It's kind of a bit of a parallel universe and another tool set. And so for training purposes, I think I would think about it that way. And the planning consultants are the ones that will need to receive the specialized training, you know, that goes into all of what you're showing at a very surface level here on the screen you're sharing with us. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair summary, Ken, of your thinking about it?
Spot on. Yes.
Okay.
So, Wesley, just so you have context, MoneyGuide Pro will come to all the users of SunGard at some point in the future.
Okay.
Only MoneyGuide will only be used for this offer right now.
Gotcha.
There's some talk among the different constituencies of perhaps having a very small group of other SunGard users parallel train, just to keep that, just plant that somewhere in the back of your mind as it could happen.
Sure.
It's not looking likely, but it could happen, just in case that pops up. It won't impact things other than the classes would be a little bigger.
Okay.
So we would need to know that. Just plant that seed.
Sure.
Just in case we get somebody to yes.
Right. Okay, so I'm thinking about that then in terms of what's in scope versus out of scope. So I'll certainly keep that in mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I think the same important point maybe, too, is that, and Ken, tell me if you have a different thought, but all of those groups that aren't going to be the actual planning consultants for now won't need much detailed training. In fact, it probably wouldn't be appropriate for them to have detailed training on the MoneyGuide Pro tool. For one reason, many of them are using the SunGard tools. That said, there may be some selected parts of this in terms of screenshots of what a plan would look like, or a few of the, so just so that they know, or have some, you know, if they're talking to a client, what that experience might look like if they refer someone to this solution, but they don't need to be trained in the details or even get much information on all of what you're showing on the screen and more. So
that's accurate.
That's my thought. Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's spot on. For instance, an FC needs to know what the plan document will look like, because she or he will have access to that document in Mars, I think, is where we're going to end up landing on that one. But if one of the clients they work with in the branch network also happens to be part of this offer, then the planning consultant will make sure that that document also is in front of the FC, and they'll need to know what that looks like. That said, they don't need to know how to use MoneyGuide Pro yet. That will come in a year, roughly.
Will the financial consultant ever be expected to provide any? My understanding is they will not be allowed to provide any advice, really, that's within the offer. That will be for the planning consultant. Would they ever be expected to own any of the advice or provide any recommendations interpreting any of the tool, or no?
Not interpreting the tool. We want to give them access to the document itself, because there's an action plan in there, and some of that may relate to other things they need to execute. For instance, we were talking earlier about the opening of a self-directed trade account or something of that nature. that may be something we partner with the branch network on. But they won't get a honey-do list, if you will, of here's the things that you're expected to execute. That's not part of this offer.
Right. That makes sense. So the example,
I was just going to say, will the service teams need to kind of have access to this to either troubleshoot or ask any sort of like navigation or answer any sort of navigation questions that clients might have as they're going through the process?
Our thoughts from a support perspective were that the same team that supports SIP supports SIA, but only in terms of operational and service and support questions. Any questions that could be called planning questions means they should have an appointment with a planning consultant. So if the client's in the play zone on MoneyGuide Pro and they're kind of getting stuck and they want to work through some scenarios, that's definitely something they need to be doing with the planning consultant. And that way they get the share screen, et cetera. So the service support team is not expected to understand how to use PlayZone and how the MoneyGuide Pro tool works, because that's the distinct role for the planning consultant.
Okay,
great. Now, one quick question. I know in SIP we kind of created some, I think you used this term last time, Rob, swim lanes around product, education, and then advice in terms of conversations and how those conversations were to go. Are we looking at anything similar for this effort?
Well, the swim lane term, the chart she created is kind of what the swim lanes are for the whole project. In terms of there being separate paths for the MoneyGuide Pro tool training itself, if that's what you're getting at, don't know. That might be more for Ken to be. He was alluding to some of that in terms of, you know, there may be some service training for people, but it wouldn't involve very much detail in terms of knowing the MoneyGuide Pro tool itself. So maybe there aren't too many swim lanes for the MoneyGuide Pro tool training.
Okay. All right.
There are different sort of tiers of training that require. It's just going to be the planning consultants, it seems, that would need that product, that the sort of tool level training, mm-hmm. if that's your question.
Right, it is. Okay. Because I was trying to make that differentiation between what we saw here and what I was hearing in terms of the MoneyGuide Pro. Okay, great. That's good. All right. Well, we are. Any other questions or comments that we'd want to leave in? We have less than 60 seconds left in our scheduled time.
Hi, Wesley. This is Priyanka. One comment that I think I missed earlier. And Rich, I know you've mentioned also that with SIP, there was a concern that the e-services team, the team that covers sort of the late night and weekend shifts for the service team, they didn't get enough training when SIP launched. So just wanted to call that out, that we cover, make sure we make a note of that.
That's a really good call out, and sorry, it's something that I should have brought up on this call, because of the fact that those teams that cover SIP during the nights and weekends when our SIP service teams aren't here, that was one of those takeaways that we probably need to give the e-services teams a very similar training experience as to what we're giving the actual SIP service teams.
Okay. Yeah, I suspect you'll get some clients when they go through the experience up front before they meet with the consultant that may have some problems going through it and entering information. We'll call an 800 number to if they get stuck. It's pretty intuitive, but, you know, it's not. They may have questions. That's just for me going through the tool. So,
And that was my question earlier, Rob, is not necessarily around the planning or the details or any sort of conversation about about that, but if they're getting stuck, like navigating through that, like do we really want to have to take the time of a planning consultant to maybe deal with something that's maybe more of a tech issue or something like that, that's a quick problem to solve rather than actual a deeper planning conversation.
Yeah, well, and
it's worth thinking about.
You make a good point, and I could see a client getting stuck with the aggregator. Hey, I'm trying to do is bring in all of my outside accounts, and that button is not working. Because there will be, Yodlee will be embedded in the MoneyGuide Pro piece to bring in all the external assets the client wants. Mm-hmm. We definitely want them to do that. So you're right. We could easily see them just doing a couple little technical things that they do need a little help with without setting a 45-minute session with the planner.
Yeah, I'm like, one of the things that we notice when we learn with SIP, when people are opening accounts, I mean, just especially with a new product and a new service, it's probably reasonable to think that there's going to be some bugs and things that need to be worked out. And with SIP, just the verification of email addresses was a really big thing. And I certainly wouldn't want, we don't want the planning consultants or planning advisors to be an inbound phone team. We want to try and keep them to have the more impactful, longer, deeper conversations with our clients.
Absolutely. And you know what? Full disclosure, when I opened all my SIP accounts last week, and I had trouble. So
yeah,
and
we're working on it. Hopefully, you don't have a pack.
Right. I had the same experience when I opened mine.
It only took 10 seconds for the guys there using the Internet Explorer. Yeah. Do you have Chrome? No. Here, put Chrome on there. It'll work, and it does. So it was very simple. But again, that's something quick, and we wouldn't want to tell a client we can talk to you next Tuesday to tell you what would take another rep 5 seconds to tell them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is SIP, relatively speaking, is more simple and without having problems. People are going to almost certainly run into some issues here, and you wouldn't want them
sure.
to give up.
Right.
No, we don't.
Hey, Rich, can you and I connect offline? Because I'm curious about any of the collection of lessons learned that we have from SIP, and I would love to just kind of get eyes on those so I can have an awareness of some things maybe we can help design to in our training.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder, just as part of this, because of the fact that this is just brainstorming, but because SIP is going to be the investment vehicle that we utilize, I wonder if there's an opportunity to bring back some of the SIP training as a reinforcement or something like that, because it's still a big part of this process, right?
Okay. We can certainly find out what we can leverage. Looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Well, we are 4 minutes over our time. Thank you all so much for your contributions, and certainly looking forward to making more and more progress on this. As I said earlier, as Crystal and Rich and others and I connect offline before our next scheduled meeting a week from today, hopefully we'll be able to get something out to you in advance of the meeting so that we can read it. You'll be able to read through it. More than likely, it'll be an updated version of this learning plan that has a lot of the pieces that you saw today, like this particular grid. All right? And with that, I'm going to wish you all a wonderful, wonderful evening and a great Friday tomorrow. Thank you all again.
Thanks, Wes.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.